This is the Motley Fool Radio Show with David Gardner. Movie attendance in the U.S. down around 9% compared to last year, according to Exhibitor Relations, which tracks business at the box office. It is a topic of much consternation to those, some of them anyway, in the industry, and it has made many a consumer mainstream headline this summer. And here to talk about the movie business is Leonard Maltin. He's the author of Leonard Maltin's 2005 Movie Guide. He's been Entertainment Tonight's film critic for over 20 years. He's a return guest on the show, and he joins us from Los Angeles, California. Leonard, great to have you back.
Thank you. And like most movie business stories that wind up in consumer headlines, they're not getting the story. They're not getting the story right.
Let's start right there. What do you perceive to be the conventional wisdom headline this summer, and why don't you nail the conventional wisdom on the show?
Oh, there's been a 19-week box office slump. What's the cause of this slump? Well, it must be DVDs, and it must be people are playing their Game Boys, Hollywood isn't delivering, what they want. Because
yeah, $9.50 movies, tickets, the $7 popcorn. I mean, I've heard all these in these articles.
Right, uh-huh. Well, I mean, there's some truth in all of that. Some truth in all of that. But the other statistic, and you know what statistics are, malleable at best, that last year there was a spike in attendance caused first by Mel Gibson's genuine phenomenon, which drew many people to movie theaters who don't go to the movies. And that, skewed the numbers higher than they normally would be. And then there was a similar spike, actually, for Michael Moore's film at the other end of the spectrum. So you had some kind of flukish activity last year. I'm told by what I've been reading, I think even from Exhibitor Relations, that really the difference is not 9%, but if you take out the Mel Gibson film, it's more like 1% from last year to this.
And so what you're saying is that last year was the aberration, perhaps, Leonard. This year, things have more reverted to the mean.
Well, the other part of that story is that there is a continuing trend. Yes, people are going to the movies a little less because there are other ways, many other ways, for them to be entertained. And one of the real factors is the shortening window between a film's theatrical release and its debut on DVD. Mm-hmm. You can now go online at a service like Netflix and type in your name to be among the first to receive War of the Worlds on DVD whenever it comes out. So you can decide right now, today, I don't feel like spending $9, $10, $11 to go see War of the Worlds, but I'm curious enough to see it when it's out on DVD and I can get it for a couple of bucks. So it's a practical invitation to stay home. That's how I see it. If you're just going to have to wait a few months and you're not dying to see a particular movie, then you'll wait. And that explains the failure of the medium grade movies. And most movies are somewhere in the medium grade. They're not blockbusters. There isn't a War of the Worlds or a Batman Begins every week, and the business can't operate that way. So you have smaller movies and more modest movies. Some of them have wide appeal. Some of them don't. Some of them Hollywood makes for reasons we can't fathom, like Cedric the Entertainer in a remake of The Honeymooners, or the eagerly anticipated Miss Congeniality 2. I mean, you imagine the buzz of excitement, waiting for that to come out. There was none. Nobody wanted a 2.
Leonard, what's the best movie you've seen so far this summer?
Of the summer crop, I would say probably Batman Begins is the one I enjoyed the most.
And of the very few I've seen, I enjoyed that one the most, too. And I think it's a reminder. The director also was the director of Memento and a few other really good movies before he got the big Batman job.
That's right. Christopher Nolan. He also co-wrote the movie. And I suspect he had something to do with casting the movie so that every part seemed to be filled by somebody really solid, from Michael Caine and Morgan Freeman, even the mobsters played by Tom Wilkinson, terrific British actor. I mean, a really, really strong cast in an intelligent comic book movie, like a comic book movie for grown-ups, you might say.
And it seems as if it's such a vital genre today, comic book, superhero movies, Fantastic Four debuting this weekend. Leonard, have you seen Fantastic Four yet?
Yes, I have.
Was it fantastic?
It was not fantastic. Fantastic Four is kind of what people used to put down as a comic book movie. Make fun of. It's just a comic book movie. Mm-hmm. That's what you used to say until films like X-Men or X-Men or X2 or now Batman Begins raised the bar, or Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2 especially, one of my favorite movies of recent years. By good writing, good casting, good filmmaking, good storytelling, they've elevated what used to be a rinky-tink genre, into something much more substantial and also much more entertaining. Fantastic Four is a cheesy movie that may appeal to younger kids. 10-year-old kids may think it's just fine. But now we've come to expect something more out of the genre because they're putting these films in the forefront as adult movies. Mm. And this ain't it.
Leonard Maltin, how about one or two movies maybe that may not be on my radar right now that are either out or out sometime soon that you think are worth catching?
Well, as often seems to be the case nowadays, the really good movies are not coming from Hollywood. They're coming from independent filmmakers. They're coming from overseas. There's a wonderful film playing around the country right now called Mad Hot Ballroom, an absolutely irresistible documentary that plays like pure entertainment. It's the story of grade school kids in New York City who are learning ballroom dancing and who get involved in a citywide competition. Audiences actually wind up cheering for this movie, and it's easy to see why. Just delightful, and I don't know anybody who's seen it who hasn't enjoyed it. Mm. There's another one that's just opened about a week ago called March of the Penguins. It's getting tremendous response and actually doing quite good business for a small film of this kind. It's a French documentary, and if your listeners saw Winged Migration a few years ago, they may be reminded of that when they see this. It's about a year in the life cycle of emperor penguins in Antarctica, and it's absolutely fascinating. It's just almost indescribably fascinating.
Hmm.
There's another film opening in just a couple of weeks that was a big sensation at this year's Sundance Film Festival called Hustle and Flow, a really first-rate film that was acquired by Paramount Classics and is opening, I think, July 22nd. A very unusual movie that I think some people are going to see as just a sort of an urban black genre film, but it isn't. It's a film that bends and twists your expectations. Stars a very talented actor named Terrence Howard, who I think this is a big stepping stone towards stardom for him. And he plays a pimp in Memphis who is restless, wants something more out of life than just what he's doing, scraping along, making a living the way he does. And it's a film that, in spite of its rather raw trappings, is kind of old-fashioned in a lot of its sentiments and its storytelling, and it's a winner.
Mm. Let's close with our game Buy, Sell, or Hold. You've played it before, Leonard Maltin. I'll be throwing out things happening in the world of Hollywood and ask you if they were stocks, which they're not, but if they were, would you be buying, selling, or holding right now, and a sentence as to why. You ready?
Okay.
Okay, let's kick it off this time with Buy, Sell, or Hold the likelihood that Tom Cruise's box office appeal will decline as a result of negative publicity surrounding his, well, some might say erratic behavior.
I'm going to put a hold on that because it's too early to tell from the enormous returns of War of the Worlds. But I've talked to a lot of people, a lot of women especially, who are a little upset with him, somewhat disenchanted with him, and so we'll see how that pans out.
That can matter. Did you enjoy War of the Worlds?
I thought, like any Spielberg film, it was extremely well-made, well-crafted, scary, gripping, but when it was all over, I was kind of shrugging, and I didn't like the ending at all.
It's Lord of the Rings director Peter Jackson's next project. Buy, sell, or hold the remake of King Kong.
I'll buy that. I think there's going to be big interest across the board because of Peter Jackson's involvement. That's what makes me interested. I mean, I'm old enough to remember what it was like when they last remade King Kong, which was pretty disastrous. But if anybody can turn it into a good film, even a great film, it will be Peter Jackson, not just because he's so skillful, but because the original King Kong is his all-time favorite movie.
Didn't know that. I've always enjoyed Leonard Maltin, and Leonard, we thank you very much for joining us on the show. You know him from his long run on Entertainment Tonight and from his many books. Leonard Maltin, thanks for joining us again on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thank you very much. If you want more immediate opinions or ramblings, you can go to leonardmaltin.com online.
Outstanding. We will. Thank you, Leonard.
Bye-bye.